Hello and welcome to the QA Therapy podcast. Are you looking to improve your overall testing and quality practices? My name is Sergio Freire and I'm a solution architect and a testing advocate at X-Ray.
And my name is Cristiano Cunha and I'm also a solution architect and test advocate. And we'll be your hosts and QA therapists throughout this series. In this podcast, we're going to tackle some of the most common testing and quality challenges that we all face in our teams. So if this sounds good to you, keep on listening. Apps and websites are more visual, more dynamic, more interactive. At the same time, users have many different devices with different screen sizes and capabilities. For some businesses, visual information is important. It's not just a matter of checking if the information is there, but if it is well presented, if it's readable, if it's in the right spot, if it doesn't mess with other information on the screen. So to assist us on this topic, we have a special guest with us, Andrew Knight, also known as Automation Panda. So please stay tuned. Let's see what brings us here. What are the symptoms you may be feeling that I led you to listen to this podcast? So ask yourself, are you having visual issues in production that are escaping your current testing efforts? Or do you have some visual components that are highly important that you cannot afford getting visually screwed up? Have you implemented some visual tests that became flaky and you simply stopped using them? Or does your team perform visual validation by hand or eyes, to be more accurate? Pun intended. Does your site visually break in some browsers, and that is giving you headaches?
All these are symptoms that visual testing is not being addressed as a real concern, or that it's not being properly implemented. Maybe the team simply doesn't know how to implement automated checks for it. Let's dive a bit into this topic. And today we have here with us Andy Knight, our expert QA therapist, to assist on diagnosis and prescription on these symptoms related to visual testing. Andrew is also known as Automation Panda. He has precisely a site with this name. Currently he works at Happy Tools as developer advocate and director of the well-known Test Automation University that we all use for sure. He's a frequent speaker on conferences. We have already came across with him in several of them. And he's a frequent writer on test automation related topics. Welcome, Andy. Are you comfortable on our QA therapy couch?
Oh, yes. Thank you for inviting me. It's good to be here.
It's our pleasure. So let's get started. And for our listeners, what is visual testing in very brief words from your perspective?
Sure, that's a great question. Visual testing is visually inspecting the appearance of your applications to make sure that they look right. That's bare bones basic. This is something that we have done as software developers, testers, builders, whatever name you want to call it, since we first had interfaces, right? It is the most basic form of testing, whether we consider it to be visual or not. We try something, we look at it, and we think to ourselves, is this right or is this wrong? Now, in a more present day sense, if we're talking about automated visual testing, that is when we have some sort of script or bot or tool or automated test suite that can take snapshots over time and detect differences in the visuals that appear in, let's say, a web app, a mobile app, or any sort of screen or view that is presented.
Nice. It's a really good definition and really succinct, so it's good. Why do you think it's now becoming more and more important to have these visual validations nowadays? Because in the past days, well, it was assumed that you manually will look at that, but now mm-hmm. It has become more and more important, and we have some efforts in automating mm-hmm. it also.
Correct. I would say it's not so much that it was never unimportant. It's more that it the awareness around it has risen. Like I said before, manual testers have always done visual testing just without even thinking of it. It's more that until recently, I would say in the past half decade or so, we haven't really had tools to automate visual testing. And so now that we do have tools, whether they are something like Apple Tools or there's something like an open source tool, it's now become a hot topic to be like, oh, we can approach visual testing in an automated sense at scale. Furthermore, I think there's more emphasis than ever on this because the apps we're developing today have a heightened sense of visual appeal. You know, go back to like Windows 95. That stuff wasn't pretty, right? You know, it was there. The idea of, oh, you have a window that you can look at, you know, that's not just a raw command line was revolutionary, yes. But if we go forward from Windows 95 to present day, you know, we've got things on our phone that would blow us away even if we looked at them 10 years ago, right? The idea that the visual aesthetics of an application really build into the user experience that somebody is having when they consume whatever behaviors are exercising in that software. And to because that user experience is so tied now to visuals, whenever the visuals go wrong, it has a much stronger negative impact than ever before. And so with that fear of something going wrong visually impacting user experience, now there's much more interest in mitigating that risk, hence a heightened interest in what we now call visual testing.
And I think that you already somehow touched this, but you mentioned that whenever someone tests a target site, or target mobile app, and somehow implicitly we are also visually checking while we are doing so, then we have now the automated visual testing tools. And mm-hmm. what can we get with the visual testing tools nowadays that we couldn't simply do in a manual kind of way?
Sure. The main thing that an automated visual testing tool does is it lets you do visual testing at scale, right? As humans, I mean, this is the classic manual testing thing or exploratory testing thing. Like there's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many humans on your team. There's only so much time that you can throw people at a particular app to inspect it, look at it, determine if it's good or bad. That's why we have automation so that we can do those things at scale, so that we can do continuous testing as part of continuous integration and continuous delivery. And so when we have these automated visual testing tools, what they can do is things that traditional automation can't. All right, there was this weakness. You have the reason why you wanted manual exploratory testers was because they can consume these behaviors and judge user experience intuitively. The nice thing about automation traditionally, if you're looking at like Selenium or Cypress or Playwright or I don't know, like rest assured if you're doing APIs or Postman or something like that, whichever side of the coin, the automated tools would be really good at let's just run these tests really fast, consistently, all the time, continuously. But at least in terms of UI, what do they hinge on? They hinge on the DOM. They hinge on things like attributes and text, right? So the traditional automated scripts, they could mechanically manipulate your apps, but they couldn't judge if it looked right. That like you could, an example I often give is I show people a basic banking app with a login page, and it's pretty, it's got icons and all this. And then I rip off the CSS style sheet, right? And so it's kind of like we're back to like 1995 web where it was like, you know, you had a white page with no formatting. It's just little text, you know, black and white, Times New Roman, right? Blocky input fields. And then I say, hey, here's a JavaScript using Selenium that will work on both the prettified site and the unstylized site. Wouldn't you say that the one where I stripped off the styling is broken? Yes. Then why does the script pass? Right? That's the weakness of traditional test automation. So with the present day tools that we have for visual testing, you get the best of both worlds. You can have the scale of automation with the protection of human eyes-esque looking at something. So that's why we do it.
Yeah. I actually start feeling that necessity when a while ago we started to address or wanted to have a more responsive site. And once you go that route, you start wanting to look good in different screen sizes, in different devices, mm-hmm. and that kind of exploded. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have those tools yet. And it still feels like visual testing is not like a first class citizen. Do you think it's still not that important for teams yet? Or do you think they are considering more and more important? Because they are used to go to Selenium, to Playwright, and do those functional validations. But the extra step of visual validations, do you think they are investing on it or not so much?
I think, like you said, it's still not treated as a first-class citizen. I don't think it's fully baked into people's minds yet. You know, I would think that most people, when they develop a test strategy, there's still a good chance that most of those people may not include visual testing as an aspect of it, which to me is kind of shocking because, you know, having gone through this myself, like, oh my gosh, I kind of see visual testing as a necessity these days. I can't, well, once you do it, you can't imagine going back. You're like, how did I ever test a responsive design? How did I make sure that that wasn't broken at all? Oh my gosh. Like, so I think part of the reason why there's still that barrier or that how do you even say, like, lack of popularity or not being treated as a first-class citizen is a lot baked in history, right? People are very much still in the mindset of traditional test automation via Selenium, Cypress, Playwright, what have you, right? Also, that tooling hasn't been around as long as those other things. So the penetration or the osmosis, if you may, hasn't fully bled through. And also the fact that, I hate to say this, a lot of the open source visual testing tools out there, like VRT or whatever, like it seems like the popular thing is everybody's trying to add visual testing to whatever tool or suite or portfolio that they've got now, whether it's free or paid. All that to say, a lot of the ones that are available for free just simply aren't that good. It's a lot of the free ones, they do pixel to pixel comparison with very, very minor extra adjustment. And what it results in is a lot of noise because they will run the test and it may catch something. But if they start to scale their test suite and do different things and their app changes, what they find is that every time there's a minute difference that doesn't even matter, they get a failing result. They have to go look at it. And they're like, this is a waste of my time. Right. Yeah. So it has that sour taste for a lot of the lower quality tools, if I can say that. Or maybe not lower quality. Maybe I should say, because that's not fair. It pixel to pixel is what it is. Maybe the less sophisticated tools, I should say.
Yeah.
You mentioned, let's say, sites where that can be, let's say, where user experience can be more important than, for example, other sites. Would you like to highlight any special type of sites or apps that could be more, let's say, tailored in terms of visual testing for us to target? I would imagine if we are, have an application like Instagram, it's really important. But do we have other examples where visual testing really is like one thing that we need to perform?
I mean, honestly, I would say if your app has a UI, whether it's web or mobile, you really should be considering visual testing. Because we may think of things like Instagram or, ooh, fancy, like, wow, the visuals are so important there. These days, like, visuals are important in every app. Why? Because we develop these apps for humans, right? And so there is somebody with eyeballs and fingers interacting with them. And so, like, even if it's something as boring as like a banking app, no offense, banking industry, I come from you. It's like, I look back at my previous project. I worked at a company called Precision Lender. They made a web app that helped bankers price commercial loans. And like the homepage of that site was filled with charts and diagrams, right? That would have been a perfect case for visual testing, because I remember at that team, we weren't using visual testing. And so we marked that whole page as skip with testing risk, because we just don't have the tooling or the capability right now, or the support right now, to be able to accurately cover or mitigate that risk, I should say. And then we flip over to the main pricing page. This thing had, I got like 100 input fields or something. It was enormous, right? But even then it's like, okay, I'm going to have to write 100 assertions to make sure each one of these appears just for a smoke test. Like, and they're all important. Like, we need to mitigate that risk. So it's like, do I write 100 lines of assertions, or do I write a one-line snapshot call? Right. So even there, in what I would consider a quote unquote boring banking application, visual testing would be just as important as if it were for Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. And you talk a lot about visual testing, but is it that different from the auto test, the Selenium test? What is the overall process of implementing and maintaining a visual test?
That's a great question. So fundamentally, it's going to be the same, because it's functional black box testing. But your workflow is going to maybe have a few tweaks to the steps to it. So first of all, we know that testing is interaction plus verification. You do something and you make sure it works. That's it. That's all kinds of testing boiled down to that formula. So when we look at, let's say, a web UI test with something like Selenium, or could be Cypress, Playwright, whatever. I like to be inclusive of my frameworks and tools. When we go to automate the interactions, there would be no difference with visual testing. Why? Because you still need to load the page. You still need to click the button. You still need to wait for the thing to load, right? You still need to enter in text to log in or to price your banking application loan, what have you. Where the main difference in development comes is in the verifications. Because what visual testing focuses on is those autonomous verifications of what is appearing on the page. And so instead of, like I said, writing out all these nitty-gritty assertions, having to find locators for elements, having to make sure they're on the page, having to check their text value, having to look for their color, right? You make a one-line snapshot call. You say, hey, take a snapshot of this entire page. Or, depending on your tool, you could take a picture of a region of the page or a specific element. But either way, it's a one-line snapshot call versus multiple lines of complicated assertions. And it's a much lighter mental cognitive load, because you're not explicitly stating the things you're checking. You're implicitly saying, yeah, capture the visual. So then when it comes time to running the test, there really isn't any difference. You would hit the big button. You would let it run from CI. You would any of the standard ways of running it, it's still going to launch the same way. Why? Because it's still ultimately a Selenium or Cypress or whatever tool you're using based test case. It's just you have the visual component added to it. When it comes to looking at the reports and the analysis, you'll still have your typical report for whenever your test framework or runner is. But most likely there's going to be a link in there in the console log or something that's going to take you to a dashboard that will show you what the visuals were. Now, the way visual testing works is the first time you run your test, you're going to establish what's called a baseline image. And that's considered like the good state, the starting state. And then every image after that is a checkpoint image, which that's going to do the visual diff, baseline to checkpoint. And so if there are any differences, your automation is going to call that out to you. Be like, hey, we detected something different. Was this good or bad? If everything was checked to be the same, it passes automatically. So anyway, when you're looking at your results, if everything's passing, that means there's no visual difference. If you see a failing result or an unresolved result, again, depending on your tool, the names might be different of these statuses, but there's going to be, if there's a difference detected, it's going to say, hey, listen, go look at this thing. That's when you as the tester have a little bit more work to do in your analysis, because it's not just a binary result, right? You have to come in as the human and do a little bit of analysis and decision making. So you go into, it's probably like another report, dashboard, page, whatever. With Apple Tools, there's the Apple Tools Eyes dashboard that you would log into. And you look at these things side by side, and a good visual comparison tool will point out exactly what those differences are. Hey, this button went missing. Hey, this thing went sideways. And so then you, as the tester, can determine, hey, this is a good change. It was deliberate because development means change. This was a deliberate thing. We meant to rename the button this. We meant to change the color to that. And you can thumbs up. That becomes a passing result. And that becomes a new baseline. Or you can say, oh gosh, no, that button was missing. There's overlapping text. My title's gone. The layout lost all the CSS. I don't know. That would be a thumbs down. And then that becomes a failure of a test case. So that's the primary difference in what your visual testing looks like. It's difference in how you do verification and difference in how you do your analysis.
So, and we mentioned the mobile apps, and is there like any difference in terms of visual testing for mobile?
Yeah,
in terms of implementation?
Sure, sure. So mobile is going to be treated the same as web. It's just, as we all know, mobile test automation requires more work because there's so much more stuff in the way. But the visual testing component is still the same as long as the tools can work with mobile. Now I don't know about the different open source tools out there for visual testing, if they support mobile or not. I haven't dug in as much to that. I know for a fact that Apple Tools does handle mobile, not only mobile browser, but also native mobile apps. It's just the same process, just whatever your workflow is for mobile development, you just add the things in, like I said, with verification and analysis.
Yeah, we talk a lot about tooling, and well, some of us may start looking about those tooling solutions. Do you think they are still expensive to invest on, or is it a tool that is fairly easy to integrate in a current process?
Are you referring specific to visual testing tools?
Yeah, visual testing tools. Looking at, price and time mm-hmm. investment in adjusting it to our process.
Indeed, indeed. So in terms of price, whether you're getting something for free or you're paying for it from some vendor like Apple Tools, typically what I found is you get what you pay for, right? To do visual testing is... Or to make a simple visual testing tool that just does a pixel to pixel comparison is not that sophisticated, right? I mean, yeah. It could be like a second year college CS student's project. Let's be honest here. You rip it with a file format, you line them up like grids, and is it different? Boom, right? You know, it's not that sophisticated. But like we said before, those kinds of tools generate lots of noise. To do it well is quite difficult. Right, because what you want to do is you want your visual testing tool to look at things as if human eyes were looking at them. Right, we're trying to scale the sensible human tester. That's the whole purpose of automation. Right, and so that's why, like with Apple Tools, we have something called Visual AI that uses machine learning algorithms to determine what is a significant difference, and they look at it in all kinds of ways that I don't even fully understand how all the math and machine learning works. But ultimately, it's much more robust to things like, oh, your page shifted by one pixel padding, right? Or, being able to look at, let's say, the layout, but ignore the specific text values inside. You know, those kinds of tricks. Or like if there's, you're on a different, slightly different platform and it's skewed a little bit, you know, those are the kinds of things that, yeah, they don't matter too much, so we're not going to highlight the entire page because that's the case. So those,
we'll,
if you want that
dynamic areas that you have on your site that are
correct
always, yeah,
correct. And so that's a premium kind of feature, right? To be able to have that more robust kind of visual checking, right? And then also there's the whole platform behind it, right? You know, you can have a command line visual testing tool that you got for free that you plug into your test suite. But then where are you going to store your baseline images, right? Where are you going to store all these checkpoints? That builds up over time. You know, image files are not big, but they're not small either. And when you're testing at scale, we're talking like, you know, hundreds to thousands of test iterations per day, you know, at least depending on the size of your shop. And so where are you going to put all those baselines, right? How are you going to run these and check these across different browsers, different viewports, different devices, right? Are you going to set all that up yourself, or are you going to, you know, go to a third-party platform to have them do that for you? And of course, you know, that's not going to be free. Nobody's going to give you, I mean, there will be maybe some free tiers, of course, where you can start a little bit, but ultimately, if you're doing it at scale, exactly. And so that's where I would say, like, your mileage may vary and you get what you pay for. You know, so with Apple Tools, like, I'm very proud to work at Apple Tools because I think we have a really cool visual testing tool in the visual AI, but also a very rich platform in the ultra-fast grid and the native mobile grid that will allow you, that will provide, you know, all those configurations. You basically declare what you want, you put in your visual snapshots, and we take care of the rest. So we make it very easy. We keep everything in track for you, you know, versus if you wanted to try to cobble that together yourself, good luck. Best wishes.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
Different solutions. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Andy, a kind of, let's say, we know that it's not all like, I can say, like heaven, or in the sense with visual AI, there are possibly also some limitations, as happens with everything. What are currently the limitations that we can expect?
Sure, sure. So first of all, I would say that visual testing is not the magic wand that solves all of your testing problems, right? I always say visual testing is part of a well-balanced testing strategy, right? It is part of a healthy whole, but it is not the whole. So if you did nothing but visual testing verifications for your application, you're probably missing a few things. Like, for example, if you need to verify complex math calculations, right? E.g., like, bank loan pricing. That's not something where visual testing is probably going to be the best tool to help you. And so what I advise for teams is that, okay, it's actually pretty easy to start with visual testing, right? You know, maybe make a smoke suite for your application that navigates to each page and captures a full snapshot. Very low effort, very high value in terms of running that continuously to check if things went wrong. But if you want to, you know, expand that test suite farther, you know, maybe do some more lengthy end-to-end testing, testing more intense workflows, what you'll find is that there will probably be times where, okay, maybe 80 to 90% of your verifications can be handled by visual assertions, but maybe there's that 10 to 20% where you still need to do some traditional type of assertion, where you scrape something off a page or you check something a little bit deeper. So there's that aspect. It's not fully comprehensive. Also, as I mentioned before, if you're using a less sophisticated tool, you're going to get a lot of noise. I know at Apple Tools, our R&D spends a lot of time perpetually, and they have been for years, and they continue to do so, to try to refine the machine learning algorithms to make sure that the visual comparisons are as good and robust and as helpful and insightful as they possibly can be. So that's ongoing learning there. But then also...
Go ahead. If I may add, what happens if whenever you start having, let's say, dynamic sites, for example?
Yep. And so I was just going to touch on that. Visual testing as a technique needs tuning, so to speak.
Okay.
It's you know, when people think of assertions, they typically think about like a binary true or false, right?
Yeah.
Visual assertions aren't necessarily that clear cut all the time. And it's especially complicated when you say it because when there's dynamic content or when the app is constantly changing, how do you keep up? It's not just I did a visual assertion in my code one time and I move on forever. It's you need to be married to your test suite. You need to make sure that you're always up with it, that you're tracking what is changing, what is being different. And so what I have found, at least as I have developed visual test cases, what I found is that I need to evolve and tune my visual assertion. So an example could be something like, okay, let's say I made a test case for login, right? And then I log in and I take like a big picture of the main application that has like all the different things on the page, right? Okay, boom, boom. I may start with that. But then over time, what I might find is that, ooh, maybe I don't necessarily want to take a picture of the entire page because the sidebar is different every time, even if the main content is the same or stuff like that. What I may want to do is kind of evolve and take separate snapshots of the title bar, the sidebar, and the main content. Or maybe, like, as I've gone along, maybe the sidebar is the thing that is always constant, but the main page is the thing I really want to focus on. Maybe I want to refine my assertions such that I'm ignoring something like the sidebar in most of the tests because that doesn't matter, you know? Yeah. So there's that churn and burn of figuring out how to make the best visual checks mm-hmm. as you go to be more resistant to the dynamic content. Maybe I have to go in and add an ignore region to a particular assertion mm-hmm. because there's an embedded video and it's always auto-playing and who knows what ads are coming up, right? You know, maybe I have to ignore that segment. So stuff like that. It's not necessarily bad that you need to be hands-on. It means you're more intimately familiar with the behaviors under test, which is a good thing. Yeah. But it is something to be aware of, that there is going to be that work that you need to do as an engineer.
It's a good thing to see that in testing, all of these evolutions or these new areas that we are now looking at, like accessibility or security or visual testing, are not binary. They are not true or false. Mm-hmm. You need to look at intervals, thresholds, or confidence intervals to try to understand if they are doing what we expect. So it's a good new journey, and it will change probably the testing world as we know it. Mm-hmm. But to wrap it up, where can we learn more about testing? Any tips to get starting on this topic?
Sure. So the best resource I always recommend to everybody, where can I learn XXX about testing and automation? Test Automation University. Test Automation University. It is the best platform.
I knew you were going to say it.
Yep. I mean, come on. Like, y'all know. I would hope that most people listening also know about TAU. If you haven't heard about it, just Google it. We've got almost 70 courses right now from the world's leading instructors. Everything is available for free. And it's not just visual testing. Like, we have visual testing courses. In fact, we just dropped a new one by Matt Jacetus. But we have courses on all topics: testing, automation, strategy, even programming languages. Like, some of our top courses are how to start programming in Java, in JavaScript, and Python. So that's for anybody, you know. Also, if you want to learn more specifically about visual testing, other than Test Automation University, like I said, I work at AppleTools, so that's my tool. You can go to appletools.com/tutorials, and you can actually pick up the AppleTools SDK for whatever language and whatever automation tool you like to use. Selenium, Cypress, Appium, Playwright, you name it, we've got it. And you can take a simple setup and go kind of thing where you'll get hands-on experience learning how to run a visual test. So give that a try too.
Before going, I would really like to thank you for being here with us and help us both and our listeners are uncover visual testing and how we can use the power of visual tools to address this type of testing.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, thank you for being here.
Y'all, thank you for inviting me. This was a lot of fun.
Before ending our episode, it's time for some vitamins. We know that in general, they're good for our health. In this case, we'll be talking about vitamin X, where X stands for X-ray. With X-ray, you can perform different types of tests, including visual tests. Those tests may be performed manually, either by exploring or by checking different screens or UI components, or may be automated using your tool of choice. You may implement automated tests using well-known testing frameworks, eventually complemented with additional libraries for image handling. That means you can use GUnit, Playwright, Cypress, PyTest, and others as you wish. But you can use state-of-the-art tools tailored for visual testing, leveraged by AI and machine learning. In X-ray documentation, you can find some tutorials, including for AppTools.
And it's now time for closing regards. With more and more e-commerce sites and mobile apps having more visual components, the content is the value in itself, like ads. We need to have ways to perform visual testing to make sure these are not visually damaged. Whenever a UI component gets out of place or its layout becomes corrupt, it may become unusable and impact on relevant user flows, ultimately leading to churn. There are known cases of sites and apps that become highly impacted on revenue due to visual issues, and functional tests, even if they exist, will not notice them. So we need to pay attention to visual testing and reflect as a team on the associated risk. If this is a major risk for what we are delivering, then we need to handle it properly. Do not lose our upcoming episode where we will explore other relevant testing subjects.
So see you in our next therapy session. Happy testing!
Happy testing!